Hi. Today I want to do Answer Your Soul's Cry Part 2. And today's focus is on how to find inner joy. Do you dream of really being happy? Do you go through life not happy, maybe somewhat depressed, not quite getting to where you truly want to be? And it feels like you have a hole in your soul. It feels like you're not complete. Well, today we'll be talking about that. Because many of us dream, we really dream of fulfilling life, of feeling fulfilled deep from within ourselves. We want to connect with other people. We want to help other people, and in doing so, help ourselves. So we dream of this kind of life, of just being happy and fulfilled and doing what your soul was meant to do. And yet, many of us can't do it. And it's not your fault. It's not your fault if you don't know how, because this kind of information is held withheld from us. It's withheld from a lot of reasons, and you know what they are. We're a consumer-driven society all over the Western world and now all over the world. It stresses to us, well, if you're not happy, you're not driving the right car. You're not wearing the right clothes. You're not at the right body size. You're not this, you're not that, you're not this. So it keeps feeding the consumer cycle. So what happens when you reach out and you really begin to do this, you begin to feel alienated from other people and from yourself. So it's not your fault this information's been hidden. And you know it's been hidden by Wall Street, Madison Avenue, the governments, even religions, because do they really want you to be happy or do they want to keep you in line? So you know that. So you're constantly reaching out. Now, I've been there too, and I've been studying this for 37 years, got in hypnosis and NLP, and it led me down a whole different path. So today we're going to be talking about that. And again, I'm Dr. Will Horton. And so we're going to be talking about finding that inner joy and how do you do that? Well, it sounds easy, but the first thing you have to do is connect with the source, whatever you would consider your source. You might call it the higher power. You might call it God. You might call it the universe, whatever works for you. And the minute you do and you really begin to connect, you begin to think of things in your past, the dreams that you had, maybe as a little kid, before society got involved and led us down a different path. What did you dream of doing? What did you want to do before well-meaning, maybe, authority figures, parents, the schools, the churches, the government, before they beat those ideas out and wanted you to be sensible? What were some of those dreams that you had? If you could remember back, what did you want to do? And more importantly, why did you want to do it? Did you dream of being a writer or an actor or a teacher or whatever it was? And what was it behind that? What was the driver? This is what is worthy of you. Because those original dreams, that was the universe trying to connect with you. You're a unique, special person. No one else can do what you were put here to do. I mean, as much as I love some of the great motivational speakers, the Tony Robbins, the Jim Rohn, the late Wayne Dyer, Deepak Chopra, and the list goes on, the world doesn't need another one of them. It needs what you can bring to it. So what did you dream before society got to you? What difference do you want to make in your life and in other people's lives? If you're not happy, it's because you're denying your soul. You've cut off that part of you. That's why, and after being in the addiction field for 35 plus years, it's not uncommon to hear an addict or an alcoholic talk about they have a hole in their soul, a hole in their heart. It's because they denied a certain part of themselves. And so they self-medicated through drugs, through alcohol, through whatever they could do to escape from that feeling. So what do you have to do this? How do you awaken your soul? You know, a great teacher once said that it takes the faith of a mustard seed. And that's one of the most, to me, misunderstood quotes in the Bible. Because people interpret that to mean, oh, it only takes a little bit of faith because a mustard seed's small. But inside that mustard seed, the only thing that mustard seed can do is become a mustard plant. That's it. If you took an acorn, an oak seed, it's not that big, and it'll grow into this monstrosity, huge tree, a beautiful being of nature. But two things have to happen. The only thing that acorn can become is an oak tree. It can't become a palm tree. It can't become a maple. It can only do what the seed was put to do. So if you get a seed from the universe, you have to nurture it. You have to grow. And that's the biggest mistake. People think it's only a small amount. No, it's a complete amount. It's total faith in what you need to do. And to do that, you also have to plan it, and then you have to trust that it will not only take root, it's going to morph. It's going to turn from that little seed into something totally different. We all see that when we plant plants, the little seeds grow into something different. So the seed that you have may morph in different directions. It may be the kind of oak tree that looks this way instead of that way. So it's been said that the little must die to release the true beauty within. And what that means to me is we take that seed and we plant it and we begin to let it nurture and grow and maybe take us in slightly different directions. Because many of us begin to realize that the universe is neutral. One of the things that happens when we begin to study this kind of stuff is we wonder, why do supposedly evil or not good people succeed at high levels? Well, it was explained to me by a teacher I had that the universe is neutral. It looks at everything rather neutral. And it's going to give you what you demand of it, what you place out there. And it doesn't say whether anything's good or bad. It just is. And again, if that person that maybe we think of as not being worthy or having some kind of malicious intent, their seed is strong. They are focused. They know what they need. And it will come and become manifest. And they'll be happy doing it. So what begins to happen? So we know all this intellectually, but what can we do to really install it in our lives? That is the million-dollar question. And really what it boils down to is training your reticular activating system. One of my favorite topics in hypnosis and NLP is training your reticular activating system. That part of your brain that finds out of everything in the external world, that which you tell it is important. We always use the analogy, if you ever wanted a new car or suddenly you like a certain style, suddenly you see it everywhere. The day before you wouldn't notice it. Today you see it everywhere. I know when I bought this truck, I didn't really notice them that much that I decided I wanted one. Suddenly I was seeing it everywhere because I told my reticular activating system, I train it, find me this. So it begins to happen. If you've got something that your soul wants, if you implant it, if you say you're worthy of it, if you're willing to become what you need to become to get that, you begin to train your reticular activating system to go out in the universe and find it for you. And the easiest way to do this is to begin to define what you want by asking yourself questions. Because when you ask questions, your brain must answer it. So if you begin to ask, you know, what is my soul's purpose? What brings me joy and happiness? You will begin to be pointed to those things that do this. Because the universe wants to grow. The universe is expanding. We've heard physicists and, you know, Stephen Hawking and all these brilliant people that they're so smart they scare me. They're always talking about the universe is expanding. The universe wants to grow. And if you could take that down to the micro level, well, the universe wants to grow. The universe wants to experience life. And one aspect of it, it can only experience it through you, through your happiness, through your pain, through your suffering, through your growth, through your everything. So it wants to grow, and it wants to grow through you. And it's giving you those seeds of knowledge, those seeds that begin to open up your spirit that make you want to grow. So you want to ask yourself, as I said in part one, better questions. Because if you're asking yourself negative questions, it's going to take you in a negative direction. So if you want to open yourself up and begin to find that inner joy, begin to ask yourself, how can I find true joy in what I'm doing today that will lead me to where I truly need to go and want to go? If you ask yourself a question like that in the morning and several times a day, even if right now you're doing things that may not be what you think is your true life's mission, you'll find aspects of it. And then it'll lead you in different directions. Because again, when you open up your reticular activating system, things begin to shift. When you're asking the right questions, you get better answers. But we've been trained to look at things in a negative light. Again, I always say, I think you said last time, if you got back a test, 100 questions, and it said plus 97, you get a certain response. If you get a test back, 100 questions, minus 3, you get a different response. Same numbers, different response. It's how your brain's reacting. If you get the negative 3, you're going to look for which questions you got wrong. Majority of the people, if they get plus 97, they're going to notice that and just feel good and move on with their lives. So what we want to begin to do is focus on what we want and begin to access it. And one of the ways to do this is to ask the better questions. Ask better questions. How can I be the person I need to be to experience true joy? How can I be the person I need to be to experience true joy? I remember someone I knew, we were going through this exercise in my NLP life coaching course, and they began to realize there were just certain parts of their lives they just had to eliminate. They had to cut away because it was no longer serving them or the people they were still connected to they didn't need to be connected to at such an intimate level. And then they could truly grow and morph. And so you want to ask yourself those better questions, with the main one being, who do I have to become to get what I really want out of life? And this is the question that drives you in different directions. And see, these plant the seeds of change. And once you get it, you have to have faith that that will grow into what you want. And you need to nurture it and have complete belief in it. And then we need to become aware of all the subconscious influences that affect us without our conscious awareness. There was a study done where people were approached by, they were actors that were hired to approach people in the street and say, can you hold this for me? And it was a cup. And they were polite in the way they asked, so people would hold it, and then they did some little task and said, thank you, took the cup back and left. Well, half the people they gave the cup to, it was full of hot coffee. So when they held the cup, it wasn't scalding, but it was very warm, a feeling. And the other half, they gave like iced coffee, so when they held the cup, it was cold. So that was part one of the experiment. Part two is later, another actor came up and said, we're doing a research project. We'll give you $5 if you answer just three simple questions based on this little paragraph. Most people would answer it. So it was the same people that either held the hot cup or the cold cup. And the paragraph was the same for everybody. But the people that held the cold cup described the character in the study in the little paragraph as being cold, aloof, and distant. And a few even people said, like me, because they were influenced by the coldness, even though that had happened a few moments before. And the people who got the hot cup attributed characteristics to the character like warm, nurturing, loving. So we're constantly being bombarded by these subconscious influences that we're not consciously aware of. Now, the flip is to become consciously aware of all the things that subconsciously influence you. I know in my own case, I self-disclose, and I have to not constantly watch the news, not try to, you know, click through all the news things, just disengage from that. Because that subconsciously influences me. Because the news is somewhat negative. You know, if it bleeds, it leads, as they say in journalism. And that influences me long after I've read that story. And I really don't need to. I mean, if something major in the world happens, I'm going to hear it. It's going to be brought to my attention one way or another. I mean, you can't not. And I feel better when I'm doing things that nurture my soul, that make me happy. It's like the study they did where they had people, before they go to sleep, just watch something for a little bit of time that makes them laugh. It didn't matter what it was, because everybody's sense of humor is different. But what they found was the people that watch something funny before they go to sleep better, have better dreams, and awaken more refreshed. So isn't that interesting that even something like that, before we go to sleep, if you're laughing and it loosens your neurology and you're having fun and you're doing some things, it's so much fun. It's so much fun that it's hard to explain how much fun it can be. So that's an experiment to begin to free you up. So if you watch something funny before you go to sleep and then think of those good questions, how can I become the person I want to be? Rather than dwell on the things that went wrong today, how can I be the person I need to be tomorrow that'll lead me toward my goal? And if you've done something, you've read something that's inspiring or funny before you go to sleep, and then you think those thoughts as you drift to sleep, you're training your reticular activating system in a whole different method. And so that's my little thing on finding inner joy, because the only way you can find inner joy is to connect to that source and begin to listen to those things that the universe is trying to make present in you. So until next week, I'd like to thank you for joining us. And our assignment, if you choose to join me, is to read something or watch something funny before you go to sleep, and then practice asking better questions. So you become aware of all those subconscious influences that are around us that influence us subconsciously. Because once you take control of those, they become conscious and you begin to guide your life. Yeah. The same way a great sculptor is, or a great sculpture is molded by the artist, your life is molded by your thoughts. So once you take control of your thoughts, and once you begin to take control of them, you begin to live life on a whole different level. So I'd like to thank you for joining me, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Have a great day.